You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Spooky season is here. This month, we're talking about horse health tips you don't want to skip on during the fall, and preparing for the most festive time of the year, including what we hope will go on sale by Black Friday. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Woznicka. Welcome to episode 141 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
It's fall, guys.
It is. It's my favorite time of year. I love it.
My favorite time of year, too, but I don't actually get to really enjoy it. You both live in a place where it's beautiful right now.
Yes. Well, yeah. I just love, like, the Halloween's coming up. I just love it.
I will say, every year, without fail, I totally forget that botflies exist. And then once my horses go back on 24/7 turnout and they come in and I'm like, oh no, I have to remove all these things. So that's not fun.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I'll deal with them for the foliage.
Right.
When do you guys start seeing colors? It's like later in the month, right?
We're starting to see them.
Yeah. Mine are already almost gone. We've had a couple frosts already.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, but I'm on a mountain, so.
Yeah. No, yeah. We were in try-on, and it just started to turn more last week. Like, 2 weeks ago, it wasn't really turning, and then last week it started. And it's starting to want to turn here a little bit, but in the next couple of weeks it will, I'm sure.
Nice. I know. So we'll be up in try-on for Thanksgiving, but it's always like we miss it. You know what I mean? Like, we're past it by then.
Yeah, it's
but,
too late then.
Yeah. Well, this episode is brought to you by Zoitis.
Without fail, guys, I have the perfect spooky season drink.
Yay! I want a spooky one.
Are you guys pumpkin spice people? Because, it's one of my favorite parts of the year.
I'm not. Yeah. I can't get behind the pumpkin spice, but I'm here for like a good one for sure.
It's the most basic part of me because I love it. Like, as soon as apple cider is gone, pumpkin spice is in. Like,
mm-hmm. 100%.
I love flavors. All right. So this is actually a pumpkin spice white Russian. So you'll need 1 tablespoon of pumpkin pie spice, 3 tablespoon crushed graham crackers.
Mm.
And that'll be for your actual rim. So it's fancy. And then for the actual drink, you're going to want 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce Kahlua, 1.5 ounce pumpkin spice creamer, and then a cinnamon stick for garnish if you're feeling extra fancy. So first you'll make the rim. So, you know, just like margarita, right? Shallow plate, combine your pumpkin spice and your crushed graham cracker, dip the edge of, you know, each glass in water, and then dip it into the mixture and coating the sides of the glasses. Then you're going to make your drink. So I like it. It's simple. You pour in your vodka and your Kahlua. Then you're going to, into your glasses that are filled with ice. Then you're going to top with the creamer, garnish with your cinnamon stick, and a sprinkle of pumpkin spice.
So, okay, this sounds so really homey. Good, actually.
Yeah.
And I could just do light on the pumpkin spice creamer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I like the rim of the spice and the graham crackers. Like, that sounds like it'd be really, really good.
I feel like this is the perfect, like, mix. Spooky movie marathon drink. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes.
Very right? cozy on the couch.
Yeah.
Kind of
exactly.
Drink, you know?
Yes.
Though the last time I had a White Russian, I was in Reykjavik. I was in Iceland, actually, because there's a Big Lebowski-themed bar there, of all things.
Oh.
And, you know, like, his drink in the Big Lebowski is a White Russian.
Yep.
So that's the last time I had a White
that's
Russian.
Funny.
But this sounds way better. You know, I like the little spice, like the pumpkin spice way to mix it up.
So what have you guys got for news this week? Jess, you want to go first?
Yes. So the U.S. Equestrian Open was happening at Morven Park. It's their first kind of season doing this, your year doing this. And I guess it's on for the next couple of years. But they had a whole series of like all the 4 shorts that kind of led up to it. And then so Boyd started off with like a really – pretty good check for eventing before it even started because he was the series points leader going in, which I didn't even know they were doing that. It was pretty impressive. And so he got to start off that. And then everybody went out. It was a pretty like decent sized field for like, you know, not numbers wise, but competitive wise, there were a lot of really good horses. And so it was great. It was on Clip My Horse, which, you know, guys, I'm like very partial to, I love it. So we were super busy. So we actually came home and like binge watched all of Mormon Park on Clip My Horse. We saw the four short and the four long go on the cross country. And it was super interesting. They did a great job. I think the only thing you couldn't really tell on the live stream was how big that leaf pit was. Like it doesn't look like it. And the shadows were pretty like gnarly. So I think that was kind of hard for a lot of the horses. Like was one of the kind of, they came around the turn and a lot of them came in, but it was interesting because Coleman went into the lead on Off the Record after the dressage. He was leading after the cross country. And funny enough, at the beginning, so when you get the flags nowadays, they're just automatically putting it on your score and then they go and review it. And you could see by the live stream that Mixmaster C, it just hit the flag like it wasn't going to count. But at one point when you're looking at the scores, Mixmaster C had two flags on his record and so are like, you know, on his points for cross country. And so then the ground jury reviewed it and it was, you know, if you watch the live stream, it didn't look like it should have been a penalty. So they took those away. So Coleman was still leading after the after the cross country. And then he had a rail and that had enough points that Boyd Martin went in to win on Mixmaster C. So it was kind of a nail biting finish and it was, it was super interesting. And it's interesting with the whole US Open, like it was a lot of publicity and everything else. It was on ESPN, I think. And so, yeah, I'm like excited for the sport that it was kind of mainstreamed for a minute.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing this U.S. Equestrian Open in all the Olympic disciplines. Yes. So we'll see it in dressage and show jumping as well. But yeah, it looked like Morven Park was a perfect venue for it. It was exciting to watch. And I also thought that Boyd's comments after he won.
Very touching.
Yeah. Just a class act. The way, you know, he really gave credit to Will and his incredible ride. And it was really Will's to lose. Right. And we've all been there where that one rail knocks you down. So that was hard to watch, but it was exciting. It was a great weekend for the sport.
And I think at the end, like they're all happy. I mean, it was funny enough. Boyd and Coleman Boyd won. And then Will was second and third. And then Boyd was fourth. So they took a home sweep and they got a good check because there was a lot of money put up for that. So good on the boys. They were great.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. It was really, really good. Ellie, what do you have for us?
So I just have another, you know, horse fashion in, you know, common non-horse people fashion.
Oh, gosh. I know. It won't end, right?
It won't end. But it's so funny. Like, just, I mean, personally, I like it because that's just like, you know, like the core,
like,
especially this time of year, like, you know, the quarter zip sweaters, like I'm all about it because, you know, that's what most of my wardrobe is. So the fact that I can actually look nice if I leave my hair down and I don't like smell like manure, that
right. You look like the girls in Vogue, right? Like
exactly.
Vogue magazines telling you this is in trendy right now.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm totally channeling it. And it makes me feel like, oh yeah, this Carhartt will totally be in style like that. This article in Travel and Leisure was talking about this like Levi's like cotton barn jacket. And it's literally just like every one of those like Aussie
barber looking jackets.
Yes, exactly. It's literally, you know, all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, okay, if I just like grab, you know, some cleaner and wipe, you know, the dust off of mine, I'm good to go. Like
so
I can
funny.
Just.
I know. Between
I
this.
I can't get with
like.
Like
the classic like equestrian girl fall look plus like the Western themes you're seeing from the fashion world. Like I feel like Beyonce had a lot to do with that.
Yes.
I feel like you can't get away from it right now. Like everybody wants to dress like they're going to the barn. It's so funny to me. Like I got this belt, like this classic Western belt from a Western store when we were in Wyoming last year. And I get compliments on it everywhere, like at work and stuff. And I'm like, no, this one's for real. This isn't part of the trend. you know.
I feel like funny. Especially with like Yellowstone and everything, like it's just kind of exploded. Like even like by me, we now have a boot barn. So literally everyone is wearing jeans that are too short with cowboy boots and it drives me up the wall. But it's just like, it's comical to watch. And it's nice for me because like I can go and grab, you know, cinch shirts and whatnot closer as opposed to like having to ship them. But the one thing I cannot get behind, I really can't, are the horseshoe jeans that like are like those, like, you know, they're like splayed out in the thigh, like the really old school jodhpurs.
Do you know what I'm talking they're all, about? Yeah, they're all bunchy up there. That's hard for me too.
Yeah. I think that's because we're get behind it.
We're big booty girls, Ellie. So those don't fit us.
No, they just make me look even shorter and even wider than I am.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I always like, look at that and go, "How? How do you wear those?"
I'm like, I'm already a little bow legged. I don't need to like be more bow legged. You know, it's like, oh no, no equestrian. Yeah, like you said, with a booty is gonna wear that.
Yeah, doesn't work for us, but I get it. Yeah, so part of some of it's cool, right? It gives me like I feel like it gives me street cred, but and then part of it I'm like, okay, like what's the next trend, you know? But
right, yeah. What have you got?
Okay, so I have really fun news and I'm really excited to see this. So, before this month of this year, can you guys guess when was the last time a female show jumper was among the world's top 10 in the FEI rankings in show jumping? If you had to guess,
was it Beezy?
Off the top of your head. Yes, it was Beezy, but that was back in 2021. She was last ranked ninth in May 2021, and she was the last female rider to appear among the world's top 10 in the FEI rankings for show jumping until this month, October. And Laura Kraut is among those top 10s. Woohoo! I was really excited to see this.
That's amazing because she is, she's incredible and she's been on fire this year. So that's
I was just going to say that. Like since the Olympics, like, I mean, you can't stop her. And especially with that amazing mare she's got, the Biscetta mare, it's just like, it's so much fun to watch. So Laura went from 12th to 8th in October, which is really cool. And she joins that list of top 10 who are all dudes except for Laura. So we're rooting for you, Laura, because that's amazing. But she's had a really, really good run. And it's really important to note that I remember in the Olympic year last year, they kept talking about how she was among the oldest Olympians, right? But she is going to be 60 next month. And she's one of the top 10 best show jumpers in the world right now. I mean, that is just incredible.
It's awesome.
And, you know, she's won this year with a string of horses, but that mare Biscetta is really like the most amazing among her string. I love watching that horse so much. So she jumped double clear at Spruce Meadows this year with her. She was third in Saint Tropez in France. Earlier this year, she earned three more five-star Grand Prix finishes on the podium when she was second in the, I think it was the Rolex Open Grand Prix five-star in Florida. She was also had a really great run when in Aachen, and then she won in Dublin. So she's just like rocking and rolling.
She's crushing it.
And it's just been a great year for the Americans, to be honest. Like Kent Farrington is the number one guy that no one can catch, it feels like, you know?
Yeah, I feel incredible. Like he's been sitting pretty there for a long time.
I know. It's incredible.
It's
so
amazing.
It's really fun to see how competitive it is in the sport right now and to see Americans in the mix. It's just really fun. So Laura, we're rooting for you. You are our news for the month.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this month, we have a little bit of a different spin on our product review segment. It's fall, which means for many of us, it's time for us to be thinking about deworming our horses. And there are a lot of products on the shelf with different types of ingredients that affect different types of worms that we experience as horse owners. So we decided to bring in an expert. We have Dr. Abby Sage, who is a equine technical services veterinarian with Zoetis. Dr. Sage has a veterinary degree from the University of Pennsylvania, and she's board certified in large animal internal medicine. And Dr. Sage was on faculty at New Bolton and the University of Minnesota before She made her way to Zoetis, where she's published numerous scientific papers on equine, internal medicine, ultrasound, and cardiology. Dr. Sage, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Justine. Thanks so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you today just to talk through what we need to know as horse owners when it comes to deworming. I feel like there's been a lot of changes in the literature and recommendations that we see from our veterinarians and from the associations that determine what's safe for our horses. So really happy to have you here to set the record straight. So my first question for you, Dr. Sage, can we start just by, can you give us the rundown of just what the current guidelines are for deworming horses and maybe why we've seen some of those recent changes?
Yes. So in response to some of the resistance that we've been seeing in some of the parasites in horses, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, and this is a group that most, I would say the majority of equine veterinarians belong to. They're an educational group. They do a lot of guidelines and continuing education. And they have, in 2024, they put out some new guidelines for deworming. And we've been seeing resistance in our parasites, and that's sort of what prompted the change. Prior to these changes, I think people have been following the old guidelines, which was to just change our dewormers every 8 weeks or so and just rotationally deworm. So pick a different dewormer and just deworm that way. But that has led to resistance. And so that's what's led to some new changes.
And so when you say resistance, that basically means, you know, the ingredients involved in the dewormers just aren't as effective over time when we administer them too often.
That's right. Okay. So what happens is when we administer dewormers, it will kill the majority of the adult worms, but there'll be some that will not be killed. And then those are the ones that will then go on to reproduce and become more numerous. And that's how resistance happens. And the same is true for antibiotic resistance. And your listeners may have heard about that as well. Just when we're using the same drugs, because we don't have any new drugs, we are more concerned that the drugs that we have will be less effective.
That makes a lot of sense. So personally, my veterinarian here in Florida has recommended doing fecal exams a couple times a year, and then using that information to help guide what and when to worm. Can you explain how fecal exams work and what horse owners need to know about fecal counts and why that's a good barometer?
Sure. So we have to first look at the idea that we're not going to get rid of every parasite in every horse. That's not the goal of deworming. The goal of deworming is to decrease the amount of shedding of eggs onto the pasture. Those eggs are shed in the manure, and then they become larvae within the manure, and horses that are grazing will pick them up, and then we'll have adult worms will develop in the intestine. So if we can decrease the amount of eggs on a pasture, then we're going to decrease the overall worm burden for the horse. So the idea of a fecal egg count is at least once a year, usually in spring, but a lot of people do it spring and fall, is to identify which horses that graze a certain paddock will have the higher egg counts. And we use, it's pretty simple. You just take a manure sample from each horse. The veterinarian will run it in their lab and will actually be able to count the number of eggs per gram in the manure. And those that are low shedders only require deworming twice a year, in the spring and then again in the fall. But those that are high shedders, we're talking like 20 to 30% of horses, those would have more than 500 eggs per gram, we want to hit them with another dewormer in the middle of the summer to try and decrease their amount of eggs that they're shedding on the pasture to prevent the other horses from picking up excess numbers of eggs. So that's one way to use fecal egg counts. The other is in certain farms, and this really depends on your particular stocking density and how you've been using dewormers. And it's really a great idea just to work with your veterinarian in these instances. But we can actually test for resistance of a specific dewormer. And by then we would do a fecal egg count, like we said before, deworm the horse. And then 14 days later, we will recheck the manure. And if the dewormer is working, we should see a significant drop in the egg count. If there's some resistance, we'll still see eggs in that. And then we'll know that in this particular pasture, in these particular horses, that we do have some resistance and may choose different drugs accordingly.
That's interesting. I mean, personally, I didn't realize it was so, it really comes down to each individual horse and how they shed, and then also what their pasture situation is like. That's really, really kind of neat.
Yeah. And it's really been helpful to use those fecal egg counts to try and not use so much dewormer all the time in horses. This way we can really target those that need it and thereby decreasing the chance of resistance.
Gotcha. So thinking about me now, as I'm gearing up for my own fall wellness routine with my horses, you know, I'm going to go to my feed store and I'm going to look at the dewormers on the shelf. Is there something I should be, or a checklist I should have, like when I'm considering the right dewormer for my horse now in the fall? Do you have any advice for horse owners who are making that decision, you know, looking at the shelf and trying to decide which dewormer to pick?
Yes. So you want to pick a dewormer that is broad spectrum, that will get all the major worms. The ones that we are most concerned about in the horse are what we call small strongyles and tapeworms. Mm. Generally, we try and target those in the small strongyles in the spring and the fall, but fall especially, we then add an extra drug called praziquantel to our other dewormers that will specifically work on tapeworms. And we do that in the fall, usually after the first frost. But if you live in a place that doesn't have frost, then you would just pick late grazing season and deworm for tapeworms then. They only need to be dewormed for once a year, whereas the small strongyles at least twice a year.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. So is that, knowing that, like from tapeworms to small strongyles, is there like a specific active ingredient that's most important, or...
So for tapeworms, it's going to be praziquantel. That is the most effective of all the drugs that will get tapeworms. For small strongyles, there is a lot of resistance to many of the different kinds of dewormers. The ones that probably have the least resistance would be ivermectin or moxidectin. Moxidectin is the active ingredient in the product that we sell at Zoetis called Quest. And then the one that has praziquantel in it is called Quest Plus. And the moxidectin in Quest is the only dewormer on the market that will not only get the adult strongyles, small strongyles, but it will also work against the encysted small strongyles. So these larvae get in the mucosa of the intestine and will make a kind of a cyst-like form and will stay there. And the moxidectin is the only one that will actually get rid of those with one dose.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. I'm taking some notes here for when I go to the feed store later. So do you have, Dr. Sage, any good do's and don'ts that you like to share, or best practices when it comes to deworming? I know some people get a little worried about, say, side effects, or when is it appropriate to deworm with your riding schedule? Are there any best practices you'd like to share?
Well, deworming is really very safe. We've been doing it for a long, long time. These new paste dewormers are not really that new, but if you might think way back, some of your listeners might remember tube worming, when that was a pretty stressful practice for both the veterinarian and the horse and the horse owner. But now the paste dewormers, they're really very safe and can be used pretty much any time. You know, it's always a good idea not to do anything the day before you're going to a big show or some sort of stressful event. So I would, you know, probably not do it then, but most horses tolerate them very well and do fine with them.
Gotcha. Sounds great. So Quest obviously is a well-known name among dewormers, and Quest Plus, I use it every year. I thought you did a great job explaining the active ingredients that are found in Quest, but is there any other reason why you would recommend Quest Plus or Quest Gel to horse owners?
Well, they're, as I say, they're very safe. They will get the encysted form, and in the fall we get the tapeworms. They also have the least resistance than any of the other active ingredients in any of the other dewormers. And that's really because they're the newest of all the dewormers. We don't really have new dewormers coming into play. So we want to take good care to make sure we use our dewormers that we have now to prevent developing resistance.
Gotcha. That makes sense to me. Now, I've seen a campaign from Zoetis lately, the, quote, buy less dewormer campaign. Can you tell me more about what that means and why Zoetis is interested in raising awareness?
Yes. So it is the buy less dewormer campaign. And the idea is that we should not be just blindly picking dewormers and using them every 8 weeks. So as we talked about it, we want to just do targeted deworming. And so with doing targeted deworming, you're really the majority of your horses, you'll only deworm twice a year rather than every, 8 weeks or 2 months or so. So we're going to be using less. And because it's targeted, we're going to be actually getting those horses that might need an extra amount of dewormer in the summer. And so we'll only be giving that to some of the horses. Now, it kind of depends where you live. So if you go to our website, zoetisequine.com, you'll find some really great infographics kind of describing this. But if you are in the northern part of the country, and there are maps on there to show you where that is, then it gives you pretty specific times when you want to deworm, such as the early grazing season, which would be March, April. And then in the late grazing season, which would be more like October, November, if you're in this, and then those horses that need an extra dewormer would get one in the middle of the summer. Then if you're in the south, however, you'll be having a longer grazing season. And so you're going to want to start earlier, such as in March or April. And then your fall dewormer will probably be a bit later in November. And then in these cases, when you have a high shedder in the south, you'll want to do two extra dewormings in the summer because you've got a longer time period. So you just space them about every 3 months.
Got it. Interesting. And we've got some really great resources here from Zoetis from the Buy Less Dewormer campaign, but also really great published studies that Zoetis has done over the years that will include these links in our show notes. So for anybody who wants to learn more about why guidelines have changed in recent years for parasite control in horses, we've got some really great research and that we will share. So again, we post all our show notes wherever you find this podcast on all our podcast players, but also at heelsdownmag.com. So Dr. Sage, beyond just, obviously deworming on a schedule through the year for your horse, what else can we do as horse owners, maybe through barn management or pasture management or even manure management that you recommend to help decrease, I guess, the exposure to parasites on the farm?
Yeah, Justine, we talked about that the eggs are shed in the manure, and then the manure sort of gives them a very nice environment, if you will, to develop into larvae, which then become infective. And that takes about 3 to 4 days. It depends on the weather and the time of year, but, that's about an average. And so if we can clean up our pastures or spread that manure so that it dries out and they don't have that moist, warm environment that's protected to be in, we can decrease the amount of larvae that are on the pasture. So if, everybody's got different issues, we've got big pastures, we've got small paddocks, we've got lots of horses, we've got a few. So really it helps to work with your veterinarian to come up with the best plan. But I would say if you picking up manure in the pasture is, of course, probably the best thing to do if you can do that on a daily or every couple day basis. Of course, not everybody can do that. And so we have dragging the pastures as well. That can break up the manure and decrease the amount of larvae that can become infective. But you want to do that probably every about 3 to 4 days, probably twice a week. I know a lot of people, when they do it, might do it a couple times a year or even once a week, but we want to do it pretty regularly. It'll help decrease the burden, the worm burden in the horse, and it should help us prevent with resistance.
Did you know optimal time for treatment of tapeworms is following the first frost of the year? Only Zoetis' Quest Plus Gel controls both encysted small strongyles and tapeworms in a single dose. Consult your vet for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism.
All right. So since we're talking about dewormers and the change in the seasons as we ease into fall and trail riding season for me and Ellie, at least, we wanted to have Dr. Sage stay on and talk to us about other horse health care topics that are really timely this time of year and what we all should be doing as horse owners to make sure our horses are as healthy as possible. as we move into a crisper, cooler time of year. So Dr. Sage, thanks so much for staying on. And since we're talking about this change of seasons, I was hoping we could start there. You know, what at this time of year do you feel like horse owners should be paying the most attention to, maybe around the farm or just anything that changes with their horse?
Yes, Justine. I think that the one thing that we want to consider this time of year are booster vaccines.
Gotcha.
If you are still going trail riding or showing or anywhere that you're commingling with other horses, we want to consider boosters for flu and equine herpes virus. Those are two that are we see more often in the winter. And the immunity from the vaccines really doesn't last more than about 6 months. So if we're going to be taking our horses out and mingling them with others, those are two good vaccines to consider. The other is depending on your area that you live. Some veterinarians recommend boostering with some of the encephalitis viruses like EEE and WEE and West Nile virus, because those are transmitted by mosquitoes. And of course, the fall is still prime mosquito season. So other things to think about are blood work. It's a good time when things are a little quiet to maybe do some blood work. This is a great time of year if you have a horse that you think might have Cushing's disease or PPID to test for a screening test, doing ACTH to test for that. You can pick up horses this time of year that you might not be able to pick up in the spring. And of course, this is a great time of year for dentals. A lot of veterinarians and horse owners like to do it now when it's a little less busy than in the spring. And we certainly want to have those done every year. And then, of course, our last dose of dewormer should be about this time.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I mean, that makes sense to me that, you know, in the fall, it might be a quieter time, depending on where you live. I think in some places, you know, your summer show season's dying down, but for other folks, you know, it's indoor season right now. So horse shows are just ramping up before maybe a trip to Florida in the winter. So lots of things to think about. I've always done my core vaccines in the spring and fall. Dr. Sage, can you give us a breakdown on what vaccines people should consider and why? Like if the time of year, like you just mentioned, fall is still a time where mosquitoes are present. Absolutely, that's true for me here in Florida. But is there a reason why like you would give something in the spring versus the fall?
Yes. So at Zoetis, we recommend that you give the core diseases in the spring. And those core diseases are diseases that the American Association of Equine Practitioners has said in their guidelines that every horse, no matter what it does, whether it stays on the farm or it travels around the world, should be vaccinated for five diseases. And those are tetanus, eastern equine encephalitis, western equine encephalitis, West Nile virus, and rabies. And the reason that is recommended in the spring is that, for one thing, that's the time of year when the wildlife is most active. Skunks and raccoons are the number one carriers of rabies for horses, and they are mating that time of year, so they're more likely to be out. So you want the immunity to be as high as possible. The same is true. Mosquito season is starting to ramp up then for those, the encephalitis viruses. So we want to be able to hit those in the spring. The other spring vaccines are going to be flu and herpes. And again, we booster those in the fall. The reason we give them twice a year, and these are would be for horses that are commingling with other horses, trail riding or showing or, you know, just getting together with their friends. But these are contagious respiratory diseases, mm-hmm. but the immunity to the vaccine and even to the infection is short-lived. So we want to hit those twice a year.
Gotcha. Okay. If a horse owner, you know, I know each horse is an individual, just like we talked about with deworming, some are high shedders, but when it comes to vaccines, there are some other things to consider, like say a horse that might have metabolic issues. Are there certain things, you know, those owners should be aware of and how it could impact their, maybe not their vaccine schedule, but impact other things this time of year?
Yes. So, you know, horses are often transitioning into lusher pastures in the fall in many parts of the country after the summer has sort of dried up the grass. The lusher pastures are now we've got a lot of growth in the in our grass, and that's going to contain more sugars and make those horses more likely to get high insulin levels and potentially get laminitis. So we want to kind of make sure we are aware of that. So if you have horses that have metabolic disease, we would want to limit their pasture time this time of year. It's also a great time, as I said, to do some testing to see if those horses, some screening tests to see if they are. And it's another a good time of year also in older horses that might have these diseases. They often have arthritis as well. And this is a good time for your veterinarian, potentially do a lameness exam and then maybe treat some of these joints. And now we're so lucky in the horse world that we have new options. We have orthobiologics. These are basically we take the horse's blood and we spin it down and we get what's called platelet-rich plasma or a autologous protein solution. And that contains lots of really good proteins that will help our horse's joints heal. And what's so great about those are they are not as cause as many side effects as steroids in the joint. So for our metabolic horses, if we put steroids in the joint, which we've been doing for a long, long time, that can, there's been some studies that show that that can raise the insulin levels in even normal horses. Oh, so it's a good time to think about using some other orthobiologics like platelet-rich plasma, such as Restigen or Prostride.
Yeah, actually, this is, it's funny that we're talking about this now. I was just consulting with Jess and Doug actually about my personal horse who's ready for some cough and joint injections and going through the options available to me, and Prostride seem to check all of the boxes. So I know we plan to talk more about joint health going forward before the end of the year. So stay tuned for more on that. And Mikey, my personal competition horse, might be the guinea pig that we talk more about as those conversations go on. But it's interesting that this is a good time of year to start thinking about those things. The fall, you know, it's, again, it's either the beginning of show season for some people or maybe slowing down before winter. What kinds of questions do you recommend, Dr. Sage, for horse owners who are doing these routine exams with their vets? What are good questions they should be asking?
Well, I think you want to be asking what are the issues that I'm having and how does the veterinarian interpret that? Even some of our horses that we think have training or behavioral issues may actually be having pain and maybe showing that in some more boisterous ways than other horses. So not every horse that has a lameness or pain is, you know, their head goes up and down. Sometimes they show some unpleasant behavior. So it's a great time of year to talk with your veterinarian about lameness and behavior issues and how is my horse managing, what kind of problems I've been having through the show season that now I have time to address.
Yeah, absolutely. And are there any products or services you recommend this time of year for general horse health? I know we've talked about deworming, we've talked about core vaccines, and we've talked a little bit about the types of joint care that are out there for horses. But is there anything else that you would recommend?
Well, that does kind of cover it, but there are some things that are available that might help horse owners with their horses in more stressful situations or just managing them. There's a drug called Demosedan Gel, which is actually a sedation that can be given by mouth to a horse. So a veterinarian needs to write that prescription and give the owner the gel, and then they can keep it. And if their horse is difficult, when the farrier comes, farriers love Demosedan because it keeps them safe. So they can give this about 45 minutes before the farrier is due to do their horse. And the horses usually have a much more pleasant experience, and so does the farrier. And at the same time, people use that for changing bandages or clipping horses. It just takes the edge off some horses and makes it for a lot safer environment. So that's something to talk to your veterinarian about if you have any of those issues.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Demosedan Gel. I have it in my arsenal this time of year, absolutely for clipping. I just clip my horse too. He's a non-sweater. So when he grows that first shaggy coat this time of year, when it's still quite warm here in Florida, I always want to get the hair off him as quickly as I can. and he's a ticklish guy. So the dorm gel goes a long way and just taking the edge off. So he's nice and quiet, and it's an easier experience for him, but also it makes the clipping job go a lot quicker for me, knowing that he's going to stand quietly. So I it's a lifesaver in many ways.
Yeah, it's nice to know that there's something out there that can keep everybody safer and make everybody's experience a better experience.
And from a horse owner standpoint, obviously, like you said, this is a prescription, but it is very easy for me as someone with not a big medical background to administer. It's not an injection. You just use the gel right under their tongue and it is absorbed that way. So it's very easy to administer as well, which is great.
Yes. And you said the key point, Justine, which some people, when it doesn't work, it's often because they didn't place it under the tongue. So it's a little bit different than dewormer, not harder to use at all, but you just have to be sure that that syringe is under the tongue when you give it, and then it will be absorbed right there.
Yep. Yep. All you got to do, you do it wrong one time and you learn. But that sounds great. Thank you very much. All right, guys. So I mean, it's not even Halloween yet, but I'm not going to lie. I'm already like filling my cart with various things for the holidays. So I thought, like, do you guys have end of year plans that you already are planning about now or thinking about, or even better, like your shopping tips? I feel like, Jess, you are the Amazon queen, so you've probably got some good tips. But like, are there things you're looking out for now, hoping that they'll go on sale within the next month? Like, what's on your wish list, I guess? We'll start there.
So I guess on my wish list, I've got to compose it a little bit because I haven't really thought ahead, honestly. Like, I tried to get a little ahead for the last, like, Prime days to kind of see what was going on sale.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So I started to look kind of like what's going on sale, kind of things that I can put on my wish list. The sports bras that I really like, they always go on sale. So like, I might just get a couple more of those, you know, things like that. But one of the big things I found last year was the Oro heated vest. I got that for Doug for his Christmas present and he had no idea. And it went on sale like quite a bit. So just kind of thinking about things like that, probably a couple different sweaters and things like that always go on sale. And then just the horse stuff doesn't really go on sale on Amazon, but I'm also going to see like kind of what do we need for the season? Do I need any more wraps or bandages or whatever else? And kind of see if I can get those on like a Black Friday on, you know, one of the equestrian websites.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Ellie? What's on your list that you're like, oh, you're waiting for this sale to stock up on?
Well, I mean, first of all, candy, because Halloween candy, as soon as sure. that goes on sale.
Oh, that's that's the best, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I am in there November
1st, you're good to go.
Exactly. I'm just filling, you know, for the whole year. But no, horse-wise, honestly, I usually wait for those like blanket sales that are in the summer, but is a good time to get like those like fly sheets and fly masks, things like that. Those usually come on sale for Black Friday. So I'm going to be, you know, watching those. Probably need to like get my fly spray. If any there was a time to get that on discounted, I will do anything for that.
Because it's crazy right now. The price of it is insane. Yeah.
Well, Chewy and SmartPak and a couple of those companies will do gift cards if you spend a certain amount. So I always look for those as well.
Yeah. I just signed up too for the, like, Chewy has like a Chewy Plus thing where like gives you 5% back, but it caps you for the whole year. Fun fact. So it stops giving you money back at a certain point. Figured that out.
Chewy is an Amazon company, right? I think they're owned by Amazon.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
I didn't know that.
I think so, but I'm addicted. I get everything off of Chewy.
Yeah, I love
it. Now it's like all the animals, and they have all my horse things now because they have Sinutra. You know, they have all my feed. Like, it's amazing. And it comes the next day. They're very good about shipping and handling like a heavy feed bag that comes. You know, I'm all in on Chewy.
Except for when the driver delivered to your neighbors, and we've been looking for 3 days for this package of Chewy.
What? They take a picture. Like, so I get the picture so I know where they leave it.
But I wasn't home yet. And so then Jen's like, where is the stuff that was ordered off Chewy? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's got to be in the box. Like, you know, she's, you know, maybe missed it because like they missed a day or whatever. And I was like, oh, no, yeah. It says it got delivered on Sunday. So I don't pull up the tracking. I drive myself down to the box. It's not there. So then I look up the tracking and I go to the picture. And there's a picture of it by a gray garage. And I showed it to Luis, who like is always here. He goes, whoa, we got a garage I don't know about. I was like,
uh-oh.
It's at the neighbor's. And so, and some guy had said there was a, like a neighbor was very nice, called and said, there is a paint equestrian package, blah, blah, blah. I just assumed we order so much off Amazon. It was Amazon because Chewy's never gone to the wrong place. And
yeah,
nope, it was the Chewy order. I'm like, good thing. They're like, well, the supplement that we needed and that we're not out of till like Thursday. I'm like, okay, thank goodness I ordered a little ahead. Chewy's super fast. So I had a couple days in between.
I know. See, yeah. That's the one hazard, right? Of ordering all the stuff online is the shipping that you can't always control.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, and I'm cranky. They used to have Super Sport and they don't have it anymore.
I know.
So that made me cranky because that's like, so it's one of those things where sometimes my Tractor Supply has it, sometimes it doesn't. So I literally stocked up when I was in Connecticut because I just bought like 4 bags and I was like, okay. Hopefully this will last me till the next time I come to Connecticut, but I'd rather not have to pay Connecticut prices for tax.
Make sure the other thing cheaper. I like stock up on, which is sometimes harder to find, is the Replenimash.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It can be hard. So actually my Tractor Supply is one of those with Replenimash. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And because I live in the city, my closest Tractor Supply is like an hour away from my physical address, but having leased the farm, you know, not this last year, but the year before, where I was buying all my own feed and supplies, I have a million Tractor Supply rewards points. So they will deliver from the store all the way to my house. And oh, the poor manager calls me every time just to confirm my address because they tell me every time on the phone, like, you are the farthest person we deliver for. But I get the free same day delivery perks. I have so many perks that I'm just buying nonsense from Tractor Supply. Like I bought skeleton chickens and they had to drive.
That's amazing.
Just trying to run out my points.
That is hysterical.
She was like, do I need these? But yes.
My points were expiring and that poor man drove them an hour to my house.
That's pretty incredible.
Little did he know that he's got just like skeleton chicken in his
But thing. they never put the Replenimash on the website when they have it. So I call them and I'm like, hey, this is what I want. And they'll send it. But it's, I don't know why Tractor Supply is like that. Like
it's
why
weird.
Sometimes
it's
they have
miss.
Stuff. I know. I hate that. Like
That's
I wish.
Why I can't rely on Tractor Supply, to be honest. It's kind of annoying.
Exactly. You can't. So to be honest, like, hello, Purina, if you're listening, like, get on Chewy. It would make my
life
a whole
lot
easier.
I got it shipped before, and now all of a sudden I can't get their treats. I don't know what's going on with that. But
I'm lucky. We have a good feed store here that carries all the Purina, so I'm lucky about that.
Okay. Yeah.
But so, I mean, obviously I'm going to keep watching Chewy, you know, for basically everything.
I know, but I'm like you, Jess. I'm like sports bras, socks, underwear, like that kind of stuff for Black Friday or, you know,
all
like things
extra
that go on
shirts,
sale.
Like those Lulu shirts and sweatshirts that like these go on sale like a ton. So I'll stock up like because they get ratty. I mean, even the Lulu ones get gross. So I like
yeah,
stock
you
up
wear
on
wear them
those.
Until they die. Yeah. Yeah.
I usually buy that underwear during Prime Day because – I swear to God, I don't know what it is with men that will wear holes in underwear for like.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh,
yeah. Why is that?
Or I'm
a
just
thing?
Like, how is that surviving the washer machine anymore? You
He's
know,
like
it looks so awful.
Nice. It's you're airy. I'm like,
no,
that's not how it's supposed to work.
He throws everything away. If it's got the slightest hole, though, he's like, it's gone. He throws it away.
Oh, and he needs to talk to the other two because,
we're going to have to get it because
like
he has no problem like keeping it. He doesn't keep it. He just orders more. Like a shirt has like a weird little thing. He like throws it away. I'm like, why? That still was fine. He's like, no, it's gross. I'm throwing it away. I'm like, okay.
That's
I
funny.
Would keep it before he would.
Right. I feel like I would be judged if I wore them with the holes that he
I'm
wears
judged.
Them. Yeah.
And they have, I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I like this t-shirt. It's really soft and it has a hole in the left arm. Yes, I know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The only thing
I'm wearing
I buy
a t-shirt
every
right
year
from middle school.
Are you? Wow. And it's like, does it have holes in it?
Yes.
Oh,
for
everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. You can't have a shirt from middle school. Even I don't even care when you went to middle school. If you're on this, like, no, yes, it definitely has a hole in it.
Yeah. I mean, they are like conveniently right by my nipples, so I have to wear like a sports bra underneath.
Or else you might like flash somebody.
Yeah, like it's not
depending on how you move.
Yeah, it's like that's make sure hysterical. You wear a matching bra underneath kind of shirt.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I wore it when my vet was here one time, and I think he was genuinely like, oh, well, you know, maybe we can split the farm call. I think he thought. I'm fine with you assuming that.
That's amazing.
Just wear your rattiest clothes on that day.
I'm really cheap, guys.
That's funny. So the thing I buy every year on Black Friday, there's one thing I always buy, and it's my Epic Pass to go skiing, Jess, because those things are outrageously expensive.
Wait,
and they have
go on
really
sale on Black Friday?
They do. They do a good Black Friday sale. Oh. Like for me, who's going to go one week out of the year? You know what I mean? Like I always buy my pass on Black Friday.
Oh, that's a great idea, though. Because
every year,
that's
when I buy it. Yep, that's why I buy it. Because it's like more than Disney World now to go skiing. It's crazy.
I know.
So I always, believe me, I have to price compare and that I always buy it on Black Friday.
That's amazing. Because normally those ski passes are great in the summertime. You get a good deal then. But a lot of times I like, don't know when we're going to go or we're going to switch resorts and I don't want to buy, you know, that. And
right.
So,
you don't know where you're traveling yet. Same. Because for us, it's a travel thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes we go to a place that's not an Epic Mountain.
It's
you
not
know?
Epic.
So,
it's Icon or it does its own thing.
Right.
But I need to think about Black Friday for that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. No, I always do it. That's
do you know
the
where you're
I
going
buy.
This year?
We're doing Breck this year.
Nice. I think we're going to try to do Deer Valley because they just opened up that other side of the mountain. And so I think that's kind of the consensus. We're leaving Jackson Hole, which so sad about actually, but
it's definitely a different experience, but we do Park City the most. You'll love Deer Valley. It's lovely if you've never been.
Well, and we've never been, and it's going to have the backside where it's going to be hard enough skiing for my brother and Doug that it's the first year they've opened up the other side. So
yeah, you'll love it. It's really nice. I'll send you restaurant recommendations too. But what you'll like about it is it's so much easier to get there. You know, like you can fly right into Salt Lake. It's less than an hour. It's like 40 minutes. The elevation is lower. It's just very convenient and easy to get there.
Yeah, we just thought we'd try something different. And then, you know what? We can always go back to Jackson if we, you know, totally missed out.
Yeah, the only thing, like, the snow can be hit or miss depending on when you go. Like, it's not going to be cowboy powder. That's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
So just be ready. But most of the time it's fine. But, like, Jackson Hole was, like, incredible. Like, it blew our minds with the snow, you know. So that is the only difference. But you'll have a great time. It's lovely.
Do you guys
So what about, like, events? Like, what are the things you guys like to do before the end of the year? Are there horse things or family things? Like, not just, like, Christmas stuff, but, like, are the things you're planning for now for the end of the year?
No, we're going to do Thanksgiving. My sister just had a little baby, so we're going to go to Nashville and do the beginning of Thanksgiving there. And then we're going to go change it up this year and go straight to Jersey and do Thanksgiving up there and kind of knock it all out. Because with the way the like calendar is, by the time Christmas is here, season starts earlier this year. So we actually are going to Florida by like the 27th of December. So
what? Wow, that's crazy early.
Isn't that nuts? Because by the time
just the schedule change to make it that early?
Well, so it's technically the 29th, I guess, of December, but it's the 29th, but like we show the, you know, 31st, like over. So normally because of the new year. So premiere, which is what we always go to in Wellington is we go, it's over. Now you're showing like on New Year's and everything. And So like you show Wednesday, the 31st and January the 1st, and that's like their week zero and that's their national week. And then their FEI is the next week. And those are the weeks we always do before it all kind of gets busy. That's kind of how we like to start it. And so kids are out of school too. So yeah, we go to Florida the 29th now that Christmas is that week before, you know, it's like only a couple days. So I'm like, we can't be doing all this and like we do want to, you know, travel. So we're going to do Thanksgiving and then kind of regroup at home and kind of figure out, you know, getting ready for Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little different. Yeah.
That's cool. You'll enjoy New Year's down there, though. That's
We've
fun.
We've done it the last couple of years, but that was always on like the Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday like type thing. And like now it's like in the middle of the show week. But for us, I mean, we don't stay out late. We're like super lame people. And so, you know, we'll go to dinner at 5 o'clock, blame it on our kids as the blue haired special, and then be home before it's like probably even dark, to be honest.
That's
kind of sad.
What about you, Ellie? What's like, what are you looking forward to before the end of the year?
Well, not to be a downer, but I'm angry because a lot of the stuff that I used to do, I can't do because, like, you know, right now it's trail riding like heaven, you know, no bugs.
Yeah.
But PA passed a law that matches now New York where there's hunting 7 days a week. Like
before,
we used to be able to trail ride on Sundays because, you know, you could not hunt on Sundays. And now it's hunting all the time. Not that my horses, like, they're pretty desensitized living in the middle of nowhere to, like, gunshots and stuff. But I also don't want to walk around where I could potentially or my horses get shot. I don't.
Yeah. Like, holy cow.
Yeah. So it's just sad because, like, a lot of the things that we used to do to, like, enjoy, like, the bugless trails and stuff, we can't do this year.
So they're like, I mean, I'm sure there are parameters for where people can hunt, but you guys are essentially sharing the same area.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like I could go farther out to like, you know, designated like hiking and like horse trails, but like it was before, like I could just like get to all the like shared places with my neighbors. Like everybody kind of says, oh yeah, you can, you know, hunt there, do whatever, because it's far away from like our actual properties. But now it's like, okay, everyone's going to be hunting, so I guess I'm going to stay on my property, which just kind of sucks because, like, it's a great, like, time to, like, walk and, like, get to the tops of, like, hills and see, like, the valleys and stuff. So that kind of sucks. But in terms of, like, end of year things, I'm excited because I would, you know, obviously I'm a weather freak because horses. So I was watching it and it does say, like, we're like supposed to actually get like a real winter with like snow as opposed to mud like all last year. So I'm hoping that with that, like with my horses can be out 24/7 and then Matt and I could actually like go do things that are fun. Because it is our 10 year anniversary in the winter.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, yeah. Matt's got to get on this. Where's the ring? Where is it? I'm gonna be like your mom, like Matt, what the hell,
right?
I'm gonna start sending him like menacing letters in the mail.
Menacing
his
letters.
Coworkers actually do like always ask him and like give him crap about it, but I'm like,
that's his.
Now's the time, Matt, you've got a nice like anniversary, come on.
Right. I'm like, oh, isn't this like one of the significant ones? Like, aren't you supposed to get me a present of a certain type? I'm like, I lay the hint. Yeah. I lay the hints. But no, I'm hoping we can go do some fun stuff. Like we talked about like potentially, because obviously like we both love the beach and we haven't been able to go because it's so far away from us now that we are in PA. And I'm jealous because he gets to go to San Diego for a week for work. And he's going to be like right on the beach. And I'm like, you suck.
Go with him.
I can't. Yeah. I have no one to watch the ponies. So that kind of sucks. But my mom and I, we've been talking about like just doing like a house swap. So like she'll come here and watch my animals and I'll watch her animals. And that way.
Fun.
Yeah. And then we'll be in Connecticut and we can stay there for like a week and like go to the beach and like go to like
just
museums.
Change it
and
up.
Stuff. Yeah. So we thought
That's
it'd
perfect.
Be fun.
Because
if my horses are out 24/7, I'm like, yeah, my mom won't have to bring them all in and stuff. She can just feed them outside. And so, yeah. So I hope we can do something like that. That's my goal.
I hope so, too. That sounds nice for you guys.
Yeah.
Also, Matt, I'm like raising my eyebrow right now. Like
she's going at it.
Well, I told you guys about the time he told me I was going to ask you to marry me today. That was like.
Yes.
Yeah. That was like 5 years ago. So like. Okay.
He's still thinking about that day.
Yeah, I guess.
I have a good feeling. We'll see what happens.
We shall see.
If not, there might be like menacing anonymous letters in the mail.
Slash like death threats.
All right. You don't open them. Just leave them for him. Okay.
Leave them for him. Oh my goodness. I want to be present when he has to open these.
It would be funny, actually.
All right. What about Rosenthorn? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. I can go first.
That was not a good noise.
I can go first.
Do you want to go first, Jess?
Yeah. Well, 3 weeks ago, my mother was trying to prepare because my youngest sister was having a baby. She was 40 weeks pregnant. So she's rushing around the house. And it was a Saturday. And we were just, you know, at the farm teaching a bunch. And my mom's cleaning lady called. And then my sister called. And I finally got to my phone. And I'm like, what's going on? And my sister, who is 40 weeks pregnant, is like, mom's fallen and I think broke her leg. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And I was like, how bad is it? And like, you know, at that moment when all the rumors start happening, you know, all this terrible things. And I was like, she goes, I don't have any of mom's friends' numbers. I was like, I do. Let me call you back. Like, don't panic. Like, I'll figure it out. So I call a couple of my mom's like close friends. They all live like next door to her. And sure enough, she had like tripped over a rug and fallen pretty badly and can't move her leg. And so I'm like, okay. So I'm like finally talking to everybody. And I'm like, so like, I'll come down, like, but do I need to come right now? Or like, can I come tomorrow? Like type thing. And they're like,
right,
it's like pretty bad. Like, I think you need to like get going. And I was like, okay. So I like rush around and thank goodness, like we were finishing up our lessons and like we rush to the airport. Doug gets in the plane, poor man. We like the kids are there with like the girls, like, cause a couple of them watch the girl, like kids, and they didn't really want to come. So I was like, that's fine. So they stayed at the house and Doug gets in the plane with me. We fly to Aiken. He literally doesn't get out of the plane and he turns around and goes home and he's like, okay, I've gone 3 hours and I haven't moved yet. Like, he's like, this is the worst experience, but I'm like, it's fine. So I get there. She's broken her patella. And even worse, we can't get a doctor in Aiken. Like, she's at the, yes. So she's at the emergency room and a friend of mine was the ER doctor, thankfully, and she was amazing. And all of this, she refers to a couple doctors in Aiken. And I know of like at least two. We called the one that was like the main referral and the whole clinic was like, we'll get back to you at the time. We'll get back to you. All day Monday. She broke it on Saturday. Sunday, we like regroup. Monday, the office is open. We spent till like 2 o'clock on Monday trying to get an appointment before she called 5 times and they like kept jacking her around. I was like, I think we should just go back to North Carolina and get an appointment. I called Duke and got an appointment. They called. It was on a Monday. They said, can you make Tuesday at 9 a.m.? I was like, oh, can you do a little later than that? Like, I don't know if I can get there in time. Yeah. And they got me in for a 1 o'clock appointment on Tuesday with an amazing, amazing surgeon. She thankfully, because we didn't know if she needed surgery, all of this. So thankfully, like my rose, that's obviously my thorn. My rose is that she didn't have to have surgery. And so she's been living with us for the last 3 weeks. My kids have had the best time. We've all had a great time, but she is finally looking better. And we went to the doctor today and everything looks great. And she is in the clear of not needing surgery, but oh my goodness, what a mess.
That's really scary that access to healthcare was that difficult for her where she lives.
Well, they just like, oh, well, we'll get around to it. It's no big deal. And I'm like, but we don't know if she needs surgery. And like, I'm sure they would have maybe gotten her in at some point that in the next couple days. But I was like, I don't really want to chance that luck. So no, I'm like, we're just going to go. And I mean, she lives in Aiken. Like, it's just, they just don't have 100% really good orthos there, to be honest, it seems.
Right. Right. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty scary.
And that ones that we found that like were accessed fast enough. So yep, we came to Duke and they took care of her and they were amazing. And so she is, I think she can start, he said she can start traveling again and doing all that. So she's in much better luck. But yeah, it's been a lot of a couple weeks.
Yikes.
Sounds like it, but I'm glad she's doing okay.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, scary.
Yep. So, Justine, what do you have for us?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So, last time we were all together, we taped this beautiful podcast episode, and I was so pumped to be going to Aiken, all places, with Mikey, and had paid my entry, had booked a beautiful Airbnb, had booked a beautiful farm for Mikey to spend some time in on our track up there before settling in at Stableview. And I don't know, I think I had like 2.5 weeks before the horse show at the time we taped the last episode, and then everything fell apart after, like, literally right after we taped the episode. So I'm not going to lie, it's been a very expensive month for me in terms of paying for a horse show I didn't get to go to and all that travel. So spoiler alert, poor Mikey was just not like overtly lame, but like something was off, you know,
just enough.
And it had popped up a few times this year, you know, like, or I'd felt something weird and had my vets out, and like, it came down to this, like, I knew something was off, and I have a really good farrier and a good relationship with my farrier. And I had him out and I was like, listen, this is what I'm feeling. And he was like, all right, I'm going to come back next week and we're going to plan it. Me and the vet will be here together. And I was like, okay. And it's also like moving mountains to get the farrier and the vet in the same place at the same time and nothing go wrong. And they actually show up on that date. It was, you know, like, it was crazy. Yeah. They did that. And everybody agreed, like, yeah, like, technically, if you were to jog him, no one's going to disqualify you, but something's not right, you know? So we flexed him, and then we, you know, like, we numbed some parts of his legs, and, you know, it's been about a year since he had that coffin bone fracture, and needless to say, recent rads just showed it's, like, full of arthritis, and when my vet went to numb that area, like, we put the needle in and like clear fluid just like popped out for like 60 seconds. And he was like, okay, that's all I need to know that, like, he's just got some coffin joint pain, right? Like, is he lame? No. But is he comfortable? No. So he recommended injections, but like the timeline to give him the time off a few days for the injections and then leg him back up. Like, we were really tight on that timeline. And I actually even had a second vet out who gave me pretty much the same advice. And both of them were like, if you really want to go to the horse show, he's sound and you can do it. But is he going to feel good? Like for him? Probably not, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, well, he's got to stand on the trailer for 8 hours to get there, you know, and then ask him to perform his best. That just felt like too much, you know, and my farrier is amazing. We ended up changing his shoeing cycle just to see, like, well, why don't we just shoe him and see if that gives him some comfort? And then you decide in a week. And I was like, I'm really getting up on the deadline here. And I had already paid for everything. So we did that. We put him in a bar shoe with like some pads and a little bit of like dental impression just to see it was not enough, you know? So I decided to scratch and just instead spend more money on the injections. But, you know, I'm really glad I did, because I didn't do steroid, but like, it's been, I don't know, probably 2.5 weeks since we did the injections, and he's like a different horse. So I could just tell it was time, you know, he was ready for the support. He was ready for the maintenance. And I'm glad I made that call, because he just feels so much better. Like, it's better than he's felt in probably like 10 months, you know? So he was ready for that. And now we know that's an area that's probably going to need maintenance, you know, going forward, just to keep an eye on it. So it is what it is. It's horses, right? You know? So that is my thorn, because it has been an expensive month, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But I'm lucky I have a good team behind me, because I felt like everybody really tried to help give me all the information to make the decision, right? Which was nice to feel like I had a lot of support, even though I was hardcore stressing about it. But needless to say, Mikey will be sound to ride at another horse show at another day. So all things considered, it's not bad news. It just, we didn't get to go to Aiken during the beautiful fall weather and to enjoy it, but we will one day.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm sucks that you didn't get to go, but I'm glad he's doing better. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, he's doing great. He feels really good. So, you know, now our goals have just shifted. So I would say my rose is that now it's all steam ahead to like the next time we go into the show ring, it'll be at second level. And I'm excited to do that, to move up a level and be serious about it. So things are going well. I'm actually sitting the trot, guys, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
So. I don't do that unless there's a horn in front of me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun to be like, feel like I'm being competent and also sitting, you know?
Oh my goodness.
I feel like a sack of potatoes, but my trainer's like, it looks better than it did before. I'm like, all right, I believe you.
Hey, a little win is still a win.
Yeah, exactly, right? So yeah, things are good. Things are good. But Ellie, what about you? What's your rose and thorn?
Well, so one of my thorns was obviously the hunting, but my other thorn is actually, so I know I've told you guys that my dog, Brave, has Cushing's now. And she's got other autoimmune things, too. So she actually just got, well, not just, about a month ago, she got diagnosed with, like, MRSA. So,
Wow.
So she was in, you know, just like if her human were to get it, she was in the, you know, vet all day long. And she must have just picked it up, unfortunately. But, so, I mean, she's been acting fine. She just was, like, kind of sniffly and stuff. And I'm like acutely aware to those things. So we did like a nasal culture and it came back with, you know, resistant to like all antibiotics that are oral except for like one. So we did that for a month and then we did a reculture. And unfortunately, it's still showing MRSA that is now resistant to the antibiotic that she had been on for a month.
Crap. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, she's still acting like herself, but it's just like, nerve-wracking. So like now they're suggesting to get like a head CT
because
because they're not sure, like, basically what, you know, IDEX told my vet, and IDEX were having a conversation about it, and they were like, there has to be something that's causing this. Like, they don't know if she's got like an abscess in like a tooth or an abscess in her ear. Like, there's something that's causing this infection. So we sent a urine sample, like maybe it's a UTI. So we're just basically doing all of the diagnostics, but not fun. And then on top of that, when I called,
doesn't sound cheap either.
No.
But luckily, dog insurance is way better than horse insurance and actually covers things.
That's good.
That could be a whole episode on its own. screw you guys, insurance. But dog insurance, great. ASPCA, thank you. But I called to schedule her head CT because everyone's booking like 3 months out. And I'm like, okay, well, like, you know, my dog's immune compromised and like this needs to be sooner rather than later, blah, blah, blah. So I call the place to schedule it. And I've been there multiple times. I'm not going to like rat them out, but I called and scheduled it. And they were like, oh, what pet is this for? Because I've brought a lot of pets to this facility. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I have a lot of pets, like, it's for Brave. And they're like, oh, you must have a lot of money if you have all these pets. I was like, one, I'm
who
like,
who said that? Like,
the receptionist.
On the phone? What the heck?
Mind you, I worked in vet med as a receptionist, and I would have been fired for saying that. But also,
yeah, what the heck? That's crazy.
I mean, she was laughing. Like, I don't think she was trying to be like sassy about it, but like, I was stressed anyway because I'm worried about Brave. And I literally,
it's not funny.
Like, stunned for a second, and I said, "No, actually, I'm broke as hell because I have all these pets." Like, I'm just like, I wanted to say, no, I'm actually wearing a t-shirt with holes in the nipples so my dog can get this. Like I don't buy new stuff for me. Like, I'm like,
oh my
listen,
gosh.
You clearly don't get the picture.
My lucky vet shirt.
Right? Come on. So that was my thorn, just because that put me in a really sour mood.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
That was just like not a kind thing to say. But yeah. So that was bad.
It's just a tone deaf thing to say. Like, come on.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, well, my husband won't let me get another dog because it's so expensive. And I literally said to her, I guess you should get a better husband. That probably wasn't appropriate to say back, but I was already cranky at that point.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was my thorn, just having to deal with that. I didn't like that. But my rose was that I went to Connecticut for my annual MRIs and everything, and all those look good, like I'm stable lesion wise. But it was also fun because I got to go and do like a corn maze with my mom and like get, you know, fresh apple cider from the place by my house. So it was fun because like we used to do that every year when I was like growing up. Aww. So it was a fun, nostalgic visit. So that was definitely my rose.
Yeah. Enjoying the seasonal stuff, you know?
Exactly. So yeah, so it was a fun, nostalgic visit doing stuff with my mom.
That sounds nice. It's nice to go home and do that kind of stuff sometimes, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So we have a mailbag. I got an email from Leandy. I hope I'm saying your name right. Just Leandy, as she lives near you. She's in Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Yeah, so just, fun.
Hi. Yeah, just down the road. So she's got a question, and I think Ellie and Jess, it's perfect for both of you to answer. So Leandy has a 9-year-old warm blood cross. He's green, but obviously she loves him. She's bringing him along. It took a long time for her to find this horse, but he's the one. And fast forward over the summer, he had an episode of choke, but a pretty severe one. He had to spend a week at the vet school to recover. So needless to say, when she brought him home, she took her time just to get him reacclimated and let him settle in. But since that all happened, she was slow to get him started. She even started with groundwork again before she got back on him. But he's really lost his confidence in being ridden alone. So when she rides with a friend, like another buddy horse, he's totally normal. But she thinks like when he was at the vet school recovering, you know, he was in the ICU aisle where he could hear but not see other horses. And maybe that contributed to this new buddy soreness, sourness that she's dealing with at home. So he could be a little tense and she's trying to work through that. She also feels like she could feel him holding his breath and he's just not overall relaxed as he was before. He's still obedient and he wants to do what's being asked, but it's just that tense feeling of a young horse that's not relaxed. So she's trying to stay the course and build on things, but she's looking for advice on, you know, how do you kind of build back that confidence in a horse that had a traumatic event?
I think obviously it's probably a bit of PTSD. I mean, horses, mm-hmm. I 100% think that they can have that, you know, from past experiences and everything else. And I think you're doing the right thing and taking your time and doing the groundwork and everything else. But I think I would, when you slowly start to take them, honestly, I would probably try either the G-Chill or the Sinutra products, like the Sin-Chill or Tri-Chill or AF or all of the different ones and like kind of play with it. Because it just kind of takes, like, we have ones that are super, you know, just kind of claustrophobic or, you know, they just get nervous and worried. And that's what the Sin-Chill helps, is it doesn't take away, like, it's not like you're drugging them where they're just like doped up. It just takes away that like nervousness that you're talking about, just like gives them that calm where they're just like, I can then process it. So I would keep doing what you do. And then maybe, you know, I like the G-Chill because it's kind of a pelleted form and it's easier on their stomach. But then if you need a little bit more, the paste, obviously, I love the paste, that I think that would just kind of give it, because I don't think it's a long-term thing you'll have to have, but it just kind of can get them over that anxiety and feel better. And I think once he has some good experiences, he'll go back to kind of feeling like his old self.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. What about you, Ellie? What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you dealt with this a little bit, Justine, too, after stall rest, but I know I did with Batman a bit because, you know, he just was in a stall for practically a year, you know, so he was a little just, you know, different than he was. So I went with what Buck Brannaman has always taught, and that is to make, like, if it's like, for example, the outdoor is something that, you know, is a scary place, and that's where they are calling out and that's where they're nervous. You know, the calling out is, you know, when they're not like they feel like they don't have a buddy. And what Buck Brannaman always talks about is making them like you are their buddy. And the fun thing to do with that I did with Batman is to make the outdoor, the arena, the place of rest. So what I did, I had like a little like grass patch by my stalls so he could hear the other horses, you know, they were, you know, in the barn, but he knew they were there. So I did some groundwork there, you know, trotting in little circles. Well, not with that, because Batman couldn't do trot in little circles, but with a horse that has no, you know, ailments, you know, that you can lunge small, you know, circles, do like things that are, you know, just not like crazy, you know, but gonna get their heart rate up a little bit. And then every time you go for a walking break or like just standing and resting, go to the arena and mm-hmm. leave where that buddy sourness. So basically you're going to add the work to where the buddies are so that he finds that peace and that rest with you in the place that is away from the buddies. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I did something very similar. I mean, Mikey was like straight up feral for 6 months after all the stall rest, like totally wild to ride, you know? And I mean, luckily mine was not a super buddy sour horse. Like for sure he liked his friends, but he was very reliable on his own. But I did exactly what you described, Ellie. It was just like his reward was the rest, you know, like when he was wild, he had to, you know, we did safe work, but then I rewarded him with like the easy, you know, trail walking out, you know, for getting through the hard part of it. And a lot of it is just, it's baby steps at first. Like, I'm glad that you're taking your time because it takes time. Like, and I find the mental part of the horse training is so much harder than the physical. Like, their bodies figure the stuff out. That, like, for them, their brains to figure the stuff out is so much harder. And especially when it's an emotional decision for them and they're worried about friends, or that just takes a lot of time, and they have to trust you. So just know that you're not going to see big changes right away, but look for the small, subtle things where your horse is looking to you for guidance, because those are huge and they will add up over time.
Yeah.
So.
And don't be afraid of, even my vet actually told me this, because Batman was really sore with, like, because his back changed so much after rehab that his saddle didn't fit properly. So, like, even when I got a new saddle for him, he would, like, turn around and, like, try to bite my boot because he was like, oh, no, like, he was used to this, like, pain happening.
Yeah.
And, like, don't be afraid to positive reinforce. Like, if you're going to work by the barn, you know, and then you walk into the arena and he's calm for a while, you know, as much as I hate to like hand feed treats, you know, don't be afraid to like reward that, you know?
Oh, I do it all the time.
Oh,
I walk.
Yeah.
I'm
a total, like every time I get on now, my horse, he looks around at my boot, but he's not biting it. He knows he's going to get a treat, you know, because
that's
how I got to break that mental thing, because he was so associating it with pain, you know?
Yeah.
So
poor
I
guy.
Think that's just a lot of stuff you have to, you know, play by ear and just, like you said, be slow and reward the little wins.
Right. And just focus on your relationship, you know, because you're going to know him better than anybody else, even if you brought in a professional, right? Like, you know his little ticks. So you just be aware of those things. And there's nothing wrong with using a product that helps. I still to this day use Sinutra products because they help my horse find that sense of calm. And then it's easier for me to have a conversation with them, you know? Mm. So I think there's plenty of things you can do, but you're on the right track. So if you have a question for us and you want us to answer it on the air, you can always send us an email. Our email address is justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you can always post it in our Facebook group, which is the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. And if you want to hear more from us, check us out at heelsdownmag.com for the latest news, and follow us online. We're at heelsdownhappyhour on Instagram and at heelsdownmag on Facebook. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Zoetis. All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Cheers.
Cheers.